Good morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call Senate Finance Committee to order. It's February 26, 2026. With me today is Chairman Olson, Senator Keel, Senator Merrick, Senator Kaufman, Senator Cronk. Senator Hoffman is excused on other business, state business, and myself, Stedman. We are going to have public testimony today and tomorrow. And we're going to have public testimony on Senate Bill 213, which is the operating budget for FY27, which starts 1st of July. Capital budget, Senate Bill 214, same thing, next year's capital budget. Mental health budget, also the same thing, next year's budget, that's Senate Bill 215. And then we'll also take testimony on the supplemental budget that's in front of us. Yesterday here at the committee, and will be next week, House Bill 289, which is a supplemental budget or the budget adjustments for this current fiscal year. So this morning we're going to go ahead and hear from around the state. We're going to start the two-day process. We're going to start with Southeast Alaska, then we're going to go to Prince William Sound, then we're going to go to Kodiak, and then we're going to have in person also here. Please limit yourself to 2 minutes to make sure that there's ample time for other fellow Alaskans that have called in and want to testify, so everybody gets the opportunity to put their 2 cents in 2 minutes. Also, please try to keep your comments focused on the budgets in front of us, which is the supplemental and the two or the three next year's budget. And you can sign up to testify up to about 10:15 this morning. So we'll go ahead and start the process. I guess we'll start in the room here. Mr. Custer has been before this committee many times. He knows the routine, so I'll let you lead the way.
Thank you, Senator. My name is Jason Custer. I'm Vice President of Alaska Power and Telephone Company, a utility headquartered in Ketchikan, serving 40 rural communities across 1,200 miles of Alaska. I also chair the Energy Committee of Southeast Conference, the region's economic development organization, which includes all the region's utilities, and I'm speaking for Southeast Conference as well. I'm testifying today to encourage robust funding support for the Renewable Energy Fund program at levels consistent with the recent historical average or better. Over the last 3 years, the legislature has allocated an average of $14.2 million per year to the fund, which has helped catalyze new investment in local Alaska-made renewable energy as an alternative to costly diesel fuel brought in from out of state, saving money for schools, families, businesses, and the PCE endowment. This is important because the PCE endowment is currently reaching the upper limits of what it's able to pay out every year, making prorated PCE a risk for the future. So how much does the Renewable Energy Fund save? The AEA estimates that the REF-funded projects have offset 13 million gallons of diesel fuel per year. Valued conservatively at $4 per gallon, that's $52 million per year in savings, which is more than the PCE endowment is able to pay out, and the equivalent of a 5% annual draw on a $1 billion endowment. Another way of thinking of this is that without the Renewable Energy Fund projects we have today, PCE would only be able to pay out about half of its obligation. While Alaska has many competing issues and needs, they all benefit from more affordable energy, from schools to small businesses to jobs in mining, timber, and seafood processing. So please keep the Renewable Energy Fund a going concern with a $14.2 million appropriation equivalent to recent historical levels, or at a bare minimum, $10 million. And I sent you all a joint letter from Alaska Village Electrical Cooperative, Inside Passage Electric Cooperative, and AP&T expressing this same point of view. And together we represent 100 rural communities in Alaska. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for staying on time. We started to try to start the timer after you introduce yourself, so we didn't count the introduction.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. I think I'm going to stay in the room here. There's two other people in the room, and then we're going to jump up to Cordova. So, Ms. Christine Pate, if you can come in forward, please, from the Alaska Network of Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault.
Good morning. I guess I'll have a long introduction.
That's okay.
My name is Christine Pate. I am the Legal Program Director at the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. While I'm based in Southeast Alaska, our program provides legal services to survivors statewide. I'm asking you to increase the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault budget by $2.5 million, $500,000 of which is for critical legal services that have been eliminated by CDVSA. While all of this funding for domestic violence and sexual assault is important, I'm going to speak specifically to the legal services ask. So what are civil legal services? Let me paint you a picture. Imagine you're a young mother of two children and your husband is physically abusing you. You don't work as you're the stay-at-home parent. Every few weeks there's acts of strangulation, hair pulling, and screaming obscenities in front of your small children. As time goes on, you consider leaving, but your husband tells you that if you do, he will kill you and take the children. You're afraid to call the police because your husband might lose his job, and you've heard that child protection services might step in and take your children. What do you need to get safe? You need a protection order because leaving is the most dangerous time for victims, and that will remove your husband from your home. You need custody of your children and child support to keep your children safe. You need spousal support to pay your bills and to help you get financially on your feet. These are services that only the civil legal attorney can provide, not the criminal justice system. But in the civil justice system, there's no right to counsel. So a survivor must look for resources from a small patchwork of nonprofit legal programs, including ours, that provide this service for free. The cost of a private attorney, if you go to Anchorage or Juneau, is $350 to $400 an hour. We use our CDVSA funding to help fund a small staff of mine, three attorneys and two paralegals, providing civil legal services to survivors statewide. To staff cases, we must rely on volunteer and contract attorneys. In FY25, we were able to provide legal services to 363 people statewide who needed our help, and we had volunteers donate almost $700,000 to our program, which pretty much matches what the cost of our program is. So please, even with current funding, we have to turn away folks every day who need this service. We are just asking for $500,000 to fund this in the CDVSA budget. All of the program funding is important. There's a $2.5 million ask for CDVSA. $2 million is for our program statewide, but I'm speaking again specifically to the $500,000. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate your work.
Good. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
And thank you for helping over the years in Sitka with the domestic violence shelter there.
Thank you very much, Senator Stedman.
Yes. Emily Ferry, please. When Ms. Ferry's done, then we're going to jump up to Cordova. So.
Good morning. My name is Emily Ferry. I'm a parent here in Juneau. Thank you so much for this opportunity to testify. I wanted to first say thank you for working really hard to increase the base student allocation last year, maybe harder than you needed to or ought to, but we really, really appreciate it. I'm sure you're tired of talking about education funding. I'm tired of advocating for it, and I know our students can't afford for us to stop now. I want to be clear. I have three kids in high school, and they've had a great experience. My senior has played sports all three seasons, 4 years. He's gotten to take AP classes and CTE courses, and some of his favorite things have been Model UN and robotics. Those opportunities have been facilitated by Tier 1 teachers who've been there for 20 years and who've been incentivized to stay and go the extra mile. When those teachers started, you couldn't get a job in the Juneau School District. Now, we can't hire people. There are open positions that have been open for years, and that's true across the state with 600 open positions at the start of the school year. I know you know this because we've been talking about it for a long time, but educating our kids is not a one-time thing. It's something that we need to look at and adjust the budget every single year, just like we do the corrections budget and every other state-funded agency. So encouraging you to continue to invest in education. You know, we see what happens when we don't. Our test scores have followed that real dollar investment that we've made, right? And we want that to go back up. And so we need to invest in order to do that. Lastly, I just want to state that we're a state of tremendous wealth. We have the resources. We have opportunities, tax loopholes, revenue opportunities. I am willing to pay an income tax. I think the non-resident workers that come here should also be paying that income tax. What we really need now is the courage and the political will to invest in our future. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony today. Now go to online. We'll go to Cordova. Peter Hopfinger, you probably have to help me with the pronunciation of your name and when you introduce yourself. You have 2 minutes, please.
Certainly. Thank you so much, Senator Stedman. My name is Peter Hopfinger, and I live in Cordova, and I've sat on our local Cordova Family Resources Center for 22 years, and I'm the president of the board. Additionally, I've sat on our local school board for 21 years. I have a long-term vision of the state and hope that we can move forward. I wanted to thank you for the opportunity to speak today in support of funding for the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, including the requested $2.5 million necessary to prevent reductions to community-based organizations across Alaska. CDBSA plays a critical role in ensuring that survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault have access to life-saving services. Through its grant-making and oversight, CDBSA supports shelters, crisis lines, advocacy programs, prevention education, and culturally responsive services in both urban and rural communities. In many parts of Alaska, particularly rural communities, these organizations are often the only line of support for survivors and their children. They provide safe shelter, legal advocacy, transportation assistance, counseling referrals, and prevention programming for youth. When funding is reduced, services are not simply scaled back, they disappear. Services, staff positions are lost, shelter beds close, hotline coverage is reduced. Entire communities may be left without support. Alaska continues to face some of the highest rates of domestic violence and sexual assault in the nation. At the same time, service providers are dealing with rising operational costs, workforce shortages, and increased demand. A failure to provide this $2.5 million will not just maintain the status quo. It will force reductions to frontline services that survivors depend upon for safety and stability. State investment in CDBSA is an investment in public safety, in families, and in prevention. Every dollar that supports early intervention, safe shelter, and advocacy reduces long-term costs associated with health care, law enforcement, child welfare, and generational trauma. Most importantly, this funding ensures that survivors are not told, we don't have space or we don't have staff, or we can't help right now. Respectfully, I urge you to include the $2.5 million in the operating budget to prevent reductions to community organizations that serve some of Alaska's most vulnerable residents. It would be just a 10% increase in what the Department of Corrections' $24 million increase to the budget. An ounce of prevention isn't just the right thing to do in Alaska, it's a fiscally responsible one. Thank you so much for your consideration and for your commitment to the safety and well-being of Alaskans.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. And we're now going to jump to Craig. Julie Alexander, please.
Chairman, good morning, members of the committee. My name is Julie Alexander, and I am the Community Outreach Advocate and Lead Program Manager for Helping Ourselves Prevent Emergencies on Prince of Wales Island. We offer domestic violence, sexual assault victim advocacy, food, homeless, and legal assistance, transportation, and other services to those in need. We are certainly grateful for the flat funding received from the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault since 2017 to provide advocacy services for victims. However, the prices of goods and services have risen drastically during that time frame, meaning more victims are coming to us saying that they couldn't possibly leave their abusive situation because they would not be able to provide for their children's basic needs. So safety and independence seem out of reach. Without an increase in funding to provide the necessary services to help them with emergency shelter, transportation, and basic needs items, our ability to help sometimes seems out of reach to us as well. To continue providing victim assistance to an average of 75 people annually, with additional funding, we may be forced, or without additional funding, excuse me, we may be forced to do away with some of the critical services we provide for them, like food, safe phones, emergency travel to get them to safety. The price of groceries alone has increased more than 60% since 2017. For example, it is now $11 for a simple 8-pack of hot dogs. We need to see $2 million for direct services to survivors through the Department of Public Safety CDBSA grants line to be able to absorb the impact of 24% inflation since 2017. If the state doesn't find the funding necessary to continue providing core safety services in Alaska, many of our established victim services agencies may need to close or at the very least reduce staffing, leaving victims in some areas of Alaska unsafe because they just can't operate without adequate funding. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. We'll now have a brief at ease.
We'll come back on the record. Our next testifier is Jamie Bricker from Skagway. If you'll put yourself on the record and please give us your 2 minutes of testimony.
Thank you. My name is Jamie Bricker. I am Tourism Director for the Municipality of Skagway. I want to speak today about the critical importance of statewide tourism funding, not just for Skagway, but for every community across Alaska, and to ask for the inclusion of tourism marketing funds in the FY27 budget. Tourism generates $5.6 billion in total economic impact statewide, including $3.9 billion in direct visitor spending. Tourism supports 48,000 jobs across Alaska and contributed $181.7 million in state revenue in 2024. These are not abstract numbers. They represent paychecks for working families, open signs in storefront windows, and opportunities for entrepreneurs from Ketchikan to Kotzebue. In Skagway, we are deeply grateful for a strong cruise season. In Alaska, cruise visitation grew 3.8% to 1.785 million travelers last year, but independent travel dipped by 2.5%. And Skagway saw a decrease in Canadians visiting via the South Klondike Highway by 30% last year. Independent travelers are the guests who often visit in the shoulder seasons, stay longer, explore deeper, and support year-round businesses. Statewide marketing plays a crucial role in reaching these travelers. In fact, travelers who saw ATIA's paid media were twice as likely to visit Alaska. And those campaigns influenced over $2 billion in visitor spending. For communities like Skagway, statewide tourism marketing is not just about filling cruise docks in July. It's about sustaining restaurants in May, keeping tour operators open in September, supporting retail shops in October, and ensuring that the businesses residents rely on remain viable year-round. Strategic investment in tourism marketing is economic development. It strengthens our workforce, stabilizes our tax base, and keeps our communities vibrant, not just in peak season, but all year long. Thank you for prioritizing economic longevity of tourism in Alaska.
Thank you for your testimony. We'll go next to Emily Thompson in Juneau. Emily, if you'll give us your, put yourself on the record and give us your 2 minutes, please.
Hi there. Thank you. My name is Emily Thompson. I'm in Juneau, Alaska. I'm representing myself today, but I do work for Parents of Teachers Home Visiting Program. I'm urging the Senate Finance Committee to fund the Alaska ILP at $5.72 million to respond to inflation and extended eligibility. Last year, this made it in the budget, and then the governor vetoed it, but this would change the eligibility rate from 50% to 25%. I'm also encouraging you to fully fund the Roots Awards retention. This directly impacts the workforce of early childhood professionals and helps people be able to afford to stay in the field to continue to work with children. And that helps with the longevity overall. Thank you for your time, and I urge you to add these into the budget as they are currently not in it right now.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Our next testifier is Tom Bryce. Mr. Bryce, I believe you know how this works.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee, for taking public testimony this morning. I would like to ask you to support a fiscal plan that addresses Alaska's future needs for a strong university, safe roads, and a competitive K-12 education system, as well as a strong capital budget that keeps our infrastructure safe and strong. Also, please support a CPR draw for HB 289 to meet the match for our construction projects this construction season, as well as paying back the Higher Education Investment Fund. Do hard work, do good work, and keep it up, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony today. Our next testifier is in Kodiak. We have Penny Lample. Penny, if you will put yourself on the record, please, name an affiliation, and give us your 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Penny Lample. I'm from Kodiak, Alaska, and I'm representing the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center. First, I'd like to thank you all for the hard work and all of the decisions you've had to make for our state. So thank you, Mr. Chair, and the members of the committee. I'm asking that you help find the funding of $2.5 million for the Council of Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault grant line in the Department of Public Safety for victim services and $500,000 of that for legal services. We've been flat funded and have not had an increase in funding since 2017. Our community and its seven surrounding villages depend on us here at the Kodiak Women's Resource Center for their safety. We are a safe place for victims and their children to come and stay while they're able to work on moving forward. We have a warm bed, food, clothing bank, and advocacy personal support. We help all of our victims with paperwork, public assistance, housing vouchers, housing applications, counseling appointments, doctor appointments, restraining orders, court appearances, grand jury support, sexual assault interviews, sexual assault exams, and there's so much more that we do. This is to assist our victims and their families to find some empowerment and independency to move forward in their lives. Alaska is one of the highest states there is for domestic violence. We are at bare minimum staff right now. We have nowhere we can make any other cuts for our staff. This is why we need you to help find the funding for the CDVSA so we can help all the victims that need us. I want to thank you all for your time and the hard work that you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your testimony today. We'll have one more online before we come back to the room. Blue Scheibler. Blue, if you will put yourself on record and please proceed.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my comments today. My name is Blue Scheibler. I'm the executive director of the Southeast Childhood Collective, formerly AEYC. And I'm super grateful that I'm talking to this body that is well aware of the need for early education funding and family support in Alaska, so I don't have to give you sort of like foundational reasons for supporting it. Mostly here to say that the funding for the infant learning program is critical to be added to the budget so that that program can serve thousands more children and get those critical interventions visits in before they go to kindergarten. I'm also in support of the child care benefits appropriation staying in the budget this year, and would also like to encourage you all to fund another round of ROOTS awards. These are retention stipends that go to early educators and home visitors in Alaska that sort of honor their work with young children and give them a little incentive to stay in the field. Again, thank you for taking my comments today.
Thank you very much for your public testimony. We'll come back here to the Capitol building. Our next testifier is Rebecca Braun. Ms. Braun, if you'd join us at the table whenever you're ready.
Thanks. Good morning, Chair Keel, members of the committee. Thanks for the opportunity to testify today. My name's Rebecca Braun, and I'm a Juneau resident and a parent of a current senior at Juneau Douglas High School. And I'm here today to urge you to significantly increase education funding this year. I'm really well aware of some difficult and courageous votes you took last year, and I appreciate it very much. Unfortunately, with all that effort to override the governor's vetoes, in the end, it was really a $20 increase year over year that schools got in the BSA. And unfortunately, our schools are really still in dire need. Since 2011, state funding for education has fallen behind costs by about 30%. And you just can't provide the same quality or quantity of services with 70 cents on the dollar. And in the past 15 years, as investment in our schools has slid, outcomes have followed. Fourth grade test scores, eighth grade test scores, they are dropping dramatically. Enrollment in post-secondary education and training programs has backslid. Teacher recruitment and retention have reached crisis levels. This year, I'm told 7,000 students did not have a teacher on the first day of school. We're robbing our kids of a solid foundation. And we're harming our economy. I know of multiple people who've turned down Alaska jobs because of concerns about our schools and the state's commitment to our schools. My doctor sheepishly admitted they now commute to Juneau. Their family moved out of state because of the schools. I hear this story over and over, and it just doesn't have to be this way. A budget is a statement of our values translated into dollars and cents. I charted winners and losers by agency, which is something I used to do as a journalist, some of you know, over the past 8 years, and education is at the bottom, falling far behind inflation, while the governor's office, the legislature's budget, corrections, public safety, and most other agencies, many other agencies, have increased well ahead of inflation. We give away hundreds of millions of dollars in tax credits to corporations. We have the lowest individual tax burden in the nation. We have the tools. We have the resources. We really just need the will. There's no reason to starve our kids and our state of a vibrant future. Alaska has so much going for us. I've been here over 30 years, and I love this state. I urge you to find the resources our schools need to provide an excellent education for all our students. Thank you so much for your time and your leadership.
Thank you for your testimony. Next here in the Capitol is Skeet Black. If you would come to the table, give us your name and affiliation for the record. We'll hear your 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairman, members of the board. My name is Skeet Black. I am the Director of Corporate Outfitting for Big Rays, and I am the current president of the Alaska Support Industry Alliance, otherwise known as the Alliance. We support meeting the federal match to fully leverage available transportation dollars and maximize the impact of state investment. We've talked about this quite a bit, so I think you guys have a good handle on this. The one thing that I would like to give some perspective on is the expediency need of this with regard to the $70 million match. The reason that there seems to be confusion is that perhaps some of the people that are saying they don't understand the reason for expediency is that they don't understand logistics in Alaska and as it relates to construction. It's very difficult to bring up materials, equipment, supplies, people for jobs that you don't know are going to happen. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes financial commitment. And without the assurance of having the work ready, those things won't happen. And if this waits until July, as some have suggested, that's halfway through the construction season. Those jobs won't be completed. We also have to consider some of the time that it takes to get through process once the funds are committed. So thank you very much this morning. Appreciate the work that you do.
Thank you very much for your testimony this morning. Next up, Lori Morton. Ms. Morton, if you would make your way to the table. I know you know how this works. Welcome.
I hope I remember. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Lori Morton. I'm the Deputy Director of the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. You've already heard this morning from a couple of members expressing their desire to continue to provide safety and security and support to victims of domestic violence and sexual assault across the state, and the difficulty with which they're going to have if the council's grants line is not increased by $2.5 million. I want, however, this morning to talk about the Violent Crimes Compensation Board. At the federal level, Victims of Crime Act is funded in the Commerce, Justice, Science, and related agencies budget through non-taxpayer sources of funds. Monetary penalties associated with federal convictions and certain criminal settlements go into the Crime Victims Fund. Deposits fluctuate annually based on the cases that the Department of Justice successfully prosecutes and settles. Statutorily, this money funds specific Department of Justice programs, state victim assistance grants, which the council disperses to member programs, and supplements the state victim compensation fund. The state compensation formula grants works on a 75% reimbursement amount that the state pays out with state general fund dollars and eligible victim comp claims during the preceding fiscal year, so 2 years prior to the grant year when federal funds are available. For example, the state pays out $1 million to crime victims in state dollars in FY26. So in FY28, the state is eligible to be reimbursed $750,000 from the Federal Crime Victims Fund. If no state dollars are paid out to crime victims in FY27, then in FY29, there will be zero federal dollars allocated to the state. Currently, the Violent Crimes Compensation Board is funded through a small amount of general funds, federal funds, and the PFD felon funds. The federal funds, as stated above, are reimbursements for funds paid to crime victims with state dollars, and are used to pay out to crime victims.
Ms. Morton, can I get you to wrap up?
Yes, thank you. We're asking for $1 million in undesignated state general fund dollars to be inserted into the violent crimes grants line so that they'll be able to have stable funding in years to come.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Our next testifier is online, Nicole Bowers. If you would give us your name and affiliation, you may have some noise in the background worth muting, but if you'll do that, and please proceed.
Hi, yes, my name is Nicole Bowers. I own Discovery Preschool. I've also worked in early childhood education for 9, going on 10 years now. And I just want to call, thank you for taking my call, my testimony today. I am calling in to express my support for funding early childhood education in the state, specifically for the Alaska ILP. The early intervention is so important. I've seen over the years how much early intervention can help young children. Also to keep the $5.9 million in the fiscal year for 2026. For the child care benefits, the child care grant, that's a huge help to our program. It helps retain staff,
It helps fund our continuing education requirements. To fully fund the Roots Award. That Roots Award has been a huge, huge benefit. My staff are always so excited when they announce it, and it has really helped me retain staff and keep my turnover down. And I don't like training staff and having to bring in new teachers and staffing. That's always my biggest worry, and not having to, being able to keep those teachers, keep them trained, and reducing turnover helps me provide consistent, high-quality kids, their child care for our younger citizens. So thank you so much for hearing me today.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Before we go to the Petersburg LIO, we'll take a very brief at ease. We're at ease.
Come back on the record, please. We'll now go to the Petersburg LIO. Kara Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Kara Fry. I'm calling from Petersburg, and I'm representing Working Against Violence for Everyone. Thank you for taking time to hear from Alaskans on these important matters. My organization provides essential services to survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. We're the only program in our rural communities that covers this critical area of public safety. Living in the aftermath of violence is challenging. Often our clients are forced out of their homes in a moment and find themselves without identification, phones, or even clothes for their children to wear to school in the morning. We provide safe housing, emergency transportation, assistance navigating medical and legal systems, basic needs like food, clothing, and communication devices. Perhaps more importantly, we provide a sense of safety and reassurance of an eventual return to normalcy. At our core, we connect our clients to community because no one should face violence alone. I'm here today because we will not be able to continue this work without a funding increase. We are not alone in this challenge. Across the state of Alaska, DVSA programs in hub communities, rural locations off the road system, and even in our cities are standing in the gap for survivors with increasing costs. The need for services in our program increased 53% from 2024 to 2025. Unfortunately, our state-provided grants have not increased since 2017, and this has placed an unsustainable burden on programs, especially in rural locations like ours. I'm asking that you provide an additional $2.5 million for the CDVSA grant line in the Department of Public Safety. $2 million will fund emergency victim services across the state and $500,000 to provide legal services for survivors, connecting Alaskans everywhere with safety in their time of greatest need. Thank you for your support of survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault.
Thank you for your testimony. I think what we'll do now, we've extinguished the call-ins and the requests in the room. Let's take an at-ease till 5 minutes to 10, and then we'll come back in and see what we have on the list. And then the cutoff is 10:15, so it might make a nice break and then come back in. Even if there's no calls or a few calls, we'll come back in at 10:15 again and take care of the rest of the list. So we're at ease till 5 minutes to 10. We are at ease. Come back on the record. We're back in the public hearing on our operating capital mental health budgets for FY 27 and the supplemental for the current year of 26. We're going to jump up to Cordova. Christine Smith, please, if you can introduce yourself for the record and speak to the appropriation bills in front of us, please.
Yeah, good morning, Senator. Thank you. This is Kristen Smith. I'm the mayor of Cordova, calling in today to testify on the operating and capital budgets. And I just want to impress on you and members of the committee the needs in our small communities. We've heard a lot about trickle-down economics over the last couple decades, and right now the only thing trickling down to our municipality is a budget gap and the lack of finances that are available to support our communities. And when I look at the operating budget proposed for this year, I literally see red. I see red in all of the places where there's less funding available to support our communities. Our energy expenses, our shipping, trying to be able to provide a local match for grants to get transportation projects done in our community, it's all become a really big hardship because of cuts that are coming from the state and federal level. And I just want to encourage the committee to take community needs into account and just say that we're really cautious of bills that would increase the total tax burden on Alaskans, and in many places it would do so on top of local taxes that voters have already approved. Like, we have a city sales tax here. And so we are just really asking you to keep that in mind as you make decisions that are going to have these impacts for all communities all across Alaska. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Now we're going to go to Sitka, Teal West.
Hi, members of the committee, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Teal West. I own the Sitka Lighthouse and the Sitka Lighthouse Company store, and I'm a constituent of Senator Stedman. I am calling in today about funding for tourism marketing. I operate a tourism and retail business in Sitka. Every visitor who stays, shops, and visits supports local artists, transportation providers, restaurants, charter operators, and families in my community. The economic ripple effect is immediate and it's measurable. Tourism has become the backbone of our economic community. It is how many young families in Sitka are making their numbers work and choosing to stay in the state year-round. In the summer, I've seen young families and retirees supplement their income through tourism. The seasonal revenue allows them to stay and not relocate for financial reasons. I also have been involved in the commercial fishing industry for the last 18 years. And when fish prices are low and expenses are high, tourism directly supplemented my family's income, and it does for many Southeast Alaska families. Statewide tourism marketing directly influences whether visitors choose Alaska, how long they stay, and how much they spend. In Sitka and across the state, tourism is economic infrastructure. Today, I'm asking that you consider funding $10 million towards statewide tourism marketing. That is a modest investment relative to the hundreds of millions of dollars in tourism revenue that Alaska generates. So thank you so much for your consideration. I also would like you to consider that this gives the next generation of Alaskans the opportunity to live, work, and raise their families here, rather than being priced out or forced to leave. Strong tourism marketing helps ensure that our coastal communities remain viable, not just this year, but for decades to come. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. West. And just for a brief note for the members here at the committee, the picture on the wall, the painting on the wall with Sitka's painted by a Rockwell. Rockwell is the name of the island that her lighthouse is on. And it was all wrapped up in the history of the community. I just thought you guys might find that kind of interesting. Anyway, thank you, Ms. West, for your testimony today. And we're going to now go to Haynes, Janine Allen.
Good morning, members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Janine Allen. I serve as an advocate and veteran directed care program coordinator at SAIL, Southeast Alaska Independent Living, and I'm based out of our Haynes office. SAIL provides services to seniors, veterans, and people with disabilities in communities all across Southeast Alaska. The Independent Living Network and SAIL urges the legislature to preserve the trustees' recommended funding for home modifications and upgrades to maintain housing in SB 215, the mental health budget. Home modifications help ensure Alaskans can live in their homes and communities, and in a place like my rural community of Haynes, This means Alaskan seniors, veterans, and people with disabilities don't have to leave home and their families and relocate to a faraway facility. Sale recently helped bring home an elder veteran from a nursing facility in Anchorage, where he had been languishing for nearly a year after being medevaced. Far from his community and his friends, his health and his spirits were deteriorating. But now that he's back home, thanks in part to home modifications, it's not only saving the state money, but he's happier, healthier, and the Haines community benefits from having a valuable community member back in our midst. Home modifications are the most cost-effective way for the state to support ILN beneficiaries. Thank you for ensuring that Alaskans can live independently, and thank you for your time in public service.
Good. Thank you for your testimony. I think that concludes everybody on the list so far. So we'll take an additional break until 10:15. That's the cutoff time. And we'll come back in and finish up the list. So we are at ease until 10:15.
Come back to order, Senate Finance Committee. We have an additional testifier on the line to provide public testimony on the operating mental health budgets, the capital budget and supplemental. Our next testifier is Ray Romberg. Ray, if you will please put your name and affiliation on the record. We're eager to hear your 2 minutes.
Thank you very much. My name is Ray Romberg. I am a resident of Juneau, a parent, and an early childhood professional. I'm calling today to urge the Senate Finance Committee to prioritize early childhood education in this year's budget, not just because it supports children and families, but because it's in the best interest of our communities and our state. We know that investing in early childhood education pays off in the long run, saving money on costly interventions later in a child's life, and promoting family well-being and stability, which is a benefit to everyone. I'd particularly like to urge the legislature to fund Alaska's ILP program at the $5.72 million and to use the full $5.9 million of the child care benefits from FY26 for its intended purpose. This supports the essential work of the child care grant program for families and providers. I want to add that as a parent with a child who has special needs, the expansion of the ILP program would have made a huge difference for my family in helping to identify and provide support for my daughter's challenges at a younger age. As it's currently funded, the ILP program can only serve those with 50% delays in development, and that misses a huge number of children and families. Early detection of these special needs and developmental delays can save our state money as soon as those kids who need more support enter public schools in pre-K or kindergarten. And this also would allow children and families who may be struggling, like mine was, to get help earlier so all of our children can develop and thrive. Thank you very much for hearing my testimony.
Thank you very much for calling in this morning. That concludes our public testifiers for this morning's meeting. We have no other business to come before the committee. Our next meeting will continue public testimony on the same set of bills. That'll be this afternoon at 1:30 p.m. This afternoon, we will hear from Alaskans in the communities of the North Slope, the Northwest Arctic and Norton Sound areas, the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, the Alaskan Peninsula, and Aleutian Islands. So with nothing further to come before the committee, this morning's meeting is adjourned.